Chapter 10.
Let's not waste any time,
Sarah declared, and after she planted her lips gently on my cheek, she sauntered away from me and swept her arms up in the air with one fluid motion. Are you all right to open up another portal so soon after the last? I asked after I removed my gas mask, and Sarah offered me a vigorous nod.
I'm feeling much better than I anticipated,
the dark winged Arkan acknowledged, and she gave me a dazzling smile as her hands fell down to either side of her curvy hips.
I was certain I would feel drained after such a feat, but my rest period after the last portal made quite a difference.
I'm glad to hear that, I said, though I wasn't sure I was fully convinced. I trusted the mother of my future child with all of my heart. But I also knew the beautiful goddess had a tendency to overestimate herself. I also couldn't help but notice there was a slight glazed cast in her yellow eyes. Sarah was a professional when it came to playing off her maladies and weakened state, but as her master, I felt hyper-aware of the physical, mental, and emotional changes in the Arkan. It was also a result of our bond with one another, and my mana being tied to hers. She was an ancient monster goddess with immense power, but that didn't mean she was entirely invincible. I didn't particularly want to test the limits of her power, not when things were already so dire. But I knew Sarah's stubbornness was a powerful force in its own right.
There's no need for the hesitant gaze, my lover urged me in a smooth voice. I am ready to take you to the clans. Let us not linger in Lisi City any longer, my love.
I opened my mouth to counter, but it was no use. Sarah was right. We were pressed for time, and she was the only one who could get me to HawkClan so quickly. I had to trust she would be all right and stop being so overprotective, though I knew the latter would be nearly impossible. As long as the Arkan carried my child within her womb, and probably even after that, I would be fiercely attentive to her needs, but I had to trust she knew her limits. I offered her a nod, and Sarah raised her hands above her head once more. I rested my dominant hand on my bandolier as yet another portal appeared before us. We'd been fairly lucky when it came to Luritamba, but there was no way to be certain Eerie Island was going to be monster-free as well, so I couldn't be unprepared. Once I was sure I was ready, I took one last look around Lisi City, took Sarah's hand, and then walked into the portal. When we stepped through to the other side, I was greeted by a sight that made my heart ache and my jaw drop. After witnessing the desolate state of Luritamba, I figured I'd be used to ruin, but this was far beyond anything I'd expected. Of all of the islands in the clan territories, Freya and Vala's homeland was the most physically impressive. Eerie Island was essentially a tall mountain with a single peak that rose so high in the air it almost appeared to touch the clouds. HawkClan made their home on the inside of the island, where their homes were carved right into the mountain walls. There were only two entrances to the shapeshifter's dwelling, the opening at the very top of the island's peak, and one on the side of the island that could only be accessed through an opening in the cliff. And as I stared at the island before us, I wondered if either were even going to be accessible. The oceans around us were even darker than the rivers of Luritamba, and I was shocked to see just how viscous and murky the normally crystalline waters were. The water ebbed and flowed as usual, but the movement was so slow and labored, the sea appeared to be made of mucus or some other slimy material. The land above the ashen shore was no better. The thick expanse of trees that lined the island were no longer dense and green, just like the forests in Mistral and Luritamba. All plant life was either scorched, bent, or decaying, and the dreadful sight of it made it almost impossible to imagine life ever existing there. Even the familiar sounds of the raptors and other wildlife were replaced with a chilling silence that made me freeze in place, and I quickly scanned the sky to make sure it wasn't just a trap. Luckily, nothing seemed to be around, but this did little to ease my discomfort. Even though none of Azraneth's shadow minions were present, they'd clearly set foot on Eerie Island, and I wondered to what extent they'd descended upon the shapeshifters. Sarah and I stood on the airship launch pad I'd constructed for Aaron's craft the last time we'd visited, and as I watched the thick water lazily push against the dock, I felt a pang of something akin to loneliness. Though I hadn't grown up in the clans, this place was like a second home to me, and seeing it in this state of ruin was awful. I could only hope Hawk Clan's home was unaffected, and my wife's family was safe.
Maker, this is awful, I muttered,
and I crossed my arms against my chest as the chilled air sent another shiver through me. I wasn't often at a loss for words, but there wasn't anything I could say that would take the terrible feelings away. Azraneath was a truly vile being, and to see my wife's family's home crumbling before my eyes filled me with a bitter rage that made my heartbeat pulse behind my eyes.
Griff, are you okay?
Sarah asked me in a gentle tone, and the Arkin reached her hand out toward me. Though the gesture was meant to be comforting, it did little to put me at ease, and I carefully moved away. I need to get into the mountain, I said in a firm voice, and then I rolled my shoulders back to regain some of my composure. Hopefully their inner dwelling isn't suffering as bad as the outside of the island. Even if the shapeshifters choose not to follow us back to Mistral, I need to figure out some way to help them.
If they do not follow us, they're fools,
Sarah declared with a proud raise of her chin.
You are their greatest hope for salvation.
This isn't the time for that, I shook my head. The clans may be more primitive than the people of Mistral, but they aren't fools. They're my family, too. And as such, I need to do anything I can to ensure they aren't suffering. They rely on the oceans for food and the sky for travel. With the state of the land, the sea, and the air, I can't imagine they're faring well in this climate.
So, shall I teleport you to the inner mountain dock?
Sarah proposed as she swept her dark hair behind her shoulders. I don't want to alarm the shapeshifters too much, but I also don't see the usual water travel being an option, I replied as I assessed the murky water with a scrutinous gaze. I can't imagine the viscosity of the sea would be very good for any of my monsters.
Do you think the water is just as toxic as the air?
Sarah mused, and she bent down to reach over the dock. Her fingertips lingered near the top of the water, but before she could rest them on the surface, she changed her mind and retracted her hand. I think it would be best not to risk it, I advised. I don't suppose it's acidic, but I don't want to chance that if we don't have to.
Well, then I see only a pair of options, the Arkin said as her black feathered wings tucked up behind her shoulder blades. Either you elect for a flying monster to take you over to the cliffside entrance, or you allow me to teleport you there.
I don't want to make the shapeshifters upset by your appearance, I frowned, and then I raised my hands up. I don't mean to offend you when I say that, it's just the clans aren't used to the sight of goddesses, and I don't want to incite panic.
I understand, Master,
Sarah acknowledged.
We've had this discussion several times over, and each time I find no offense. I'm not hurt by it, so don't feel as if you have to mention it.
Yes, ma'am, I smiled at her. Well, with that in mind, I think flying might be the better option. I peered down at my bandolier and carefully assessed my creatures to determine which of my summons would be best suited to the task. Of all of my winged monsters, my Vinghund and Pyreworm were the ones I relied on the most often, and while it was for good reason, I wondered if there was a better choice. I needed a monster that would be able to nimbly navigate through the entrance, but one that wouldn't set the shapeshifters on edge. If I thought Sarah was going to alarm them, there was no way they'd react to my monsters any better. There was only one solution I could think of that would suit all of us. So I reached through my bonds with my summons until I located my Vinghund. My canine creature's essence perked up, and I sent a wave of my will to ask permission. The easygoing creature was more than willing to lend me her wings, and once I received her blessing, I concentrated with all of my being until I could feel a tingling at my back. It wasn't quite the same feeling as Sarah's mark returning to my shoulder blades, but it was similar enough, and when it faded, I reached my hand back and shivered with excitement. When I looked over my shoulder, I was delighted to see a pair of ice blue wings had sprouted from my back.
Fuck yes, I breathed as I reached back to stroke one of the pale feathers.
Though I'd borrowed several traits from my monsters before, wings were always the coolest, and I never tired of the excitement when I wore them on my body.
Wings suit you, master, Sarah noted with a raised eyebrow. I know you had your fair share of fun in the sky with Fi, but perhaps you could don them sometime when we're in more private positions.
I'm sure we could make that happen sometime, I chuckled.
Excellent,
Sarah purred, and she licked her lips sensually.
Naughty girl, I murmured,
and then I peered out at the murky sea beyond us. As much as I wanted to remain here with Sarah and test out the possibilities of my borrowed appendages, I needed to get out of the toxic air and into Hawkland's dwelling. The sooner I could recruit the shapeshifters, the sooner I could return home and help acclimate the Southerners to Mistral. I was certain between Headmaster Sleet, Arwen, and Kristen, Queen Lisi and King Ioun were adapting just fine, but I hated being away from the action.
Would you care for me to follow suit and watch your back?
Sarah wondered with a slight tilt of her head. I think I can handle it, I said, and the Arkan smiled.
Very well, she said. Then you may return me to your mind and call out to me if you need my assistance.
Of course, I replied. Thank you for the portals, Sarah.
Anytime.
She winked at me, and after we shared a kiss, I recalled the dark-winged goddess back into the recesses of my consciousness. Once I sensed her settle, I tightened the wards to keep her safe, and then I readied myself to get to the inside of Eerie Island. I pumped my wings in the air to test their ability, and to my delight, I rose an inch or two from the ground with little strain or difficulty. I loved the way I was able to easily adapt to the abilities of my monsters, and I particularly admired the way the Vinghun's wings made me feel. I felt stronger, more powerful even, and I wondered if Freya felt the same way in a raptor form. After a few more test flaps, I got the hang of the motion and took a long inhale. Though the stench of the air offered me little relief, the brief pause was enough to center myself on the task at hand and gave me a solid influx of courage, and I leapt off the dock and flew right into the air. After a few pumps of my Vinghun's wings, I soared high into the darkened sky and peered down at the cliff below. From this vantage point, it was even easier to see the full scale of the sea's change in viscosity, and my nose crinkled at the sight of the oily mass that crawled over the ashen shore. Any wildlife that had existed below the surface was likely dead, and I could only imagine the amount of fish and other marine corpses that floated within the thick slime-like liquid. The air whipped around me, and I found myself thankful the demon's toxins didn't affect me as they did before. That being said, there was little I could do to keep the acrid sulfuric smell at bay, but I was able to shift my focus on locating the cliffside entrance. Luckily enough, it wasn't too much further, and I borrowed the Vinghun's vision to ensure I was entering through a safe space. The last thing I needed while flying through the air was a random attack from Azraneath, or one of its shadowy goons.
I haven't sensed the demon since you strengthened the barrier of your mind.
Zan's voice rang through my consciousness.
Have you sensed it at all, Master?
No, I replied to the azure-winged Arkan. And it was the truth. Since I'd fortified the wall in my head, I hadn't felt Azraneath's presence, nor had I heard their voice, and I hoped that would continue to be the case. I was pulled out of my introspection when I spotted the cliffside, and I prepared myself to make a complicated entrance. Usually this entrance required passage via boat, but I doubted any type of boat would be able to navigate through such viscous water. I hoped the ocean, being at a near standstill, would make it easier to soar above to fly under the cliff, and before I could ponder it further, I reached the break. I pumped my Vinghun's wings and concentrated. There was no reason I couldn't make it through, and I just needed to remain calm and collected. The cliffs seemed more jagged than they had the last time I'd been here, but then again, nothing was the same as it was before. Thankfully, the cave's entrance dipped down far enough to be able to accommodate boats, so I would have more than enough room if I flew through correctly. I pumped my wings, and then, with a deep breath, I braced myself and breached the space between the cliffs. The space around me grew darker as I entered the inside of the mountain, and as I soared over to the dock, I became aware of the freezing temperature. A shiver ran down my spine, enough to cause me to lose a little altitude, but I managed to recover just in time. Approximately 30 seconds after I landed down onto the dock, I was met with a row of blades at my throat. I froze in place and tucked my Vinghun's wings behind my back in an effort to look less strange, but the collection of shapeshifters didn't seem convinced by the gesture. Then, two of the biggest ones stepped forward, crowded around me, and blocked the others from my view.
"State your business, intruder,"
one of the burly shifters demanded in the native tongue of the clans. He was tall, with rippled muscles, and a shock of dark hair on both his head and strong arms. His lips were pulled back in a fearsome growl, and I didn't recognize him as a member of Hawk Clan, but after a quick assessment of his stature and small dark eyes, I realized he was from Bear Clan, as were the other droves of shifters that stood around us, which explained why none of them seemed to recognize me. "I'm here to speak with Chief Fenrir," I replied in my most confident tone, and despite the blade at my throat, I managed to square my shoulders and puff out my chest slightly. I cared deeply for the shifters, and knew why they were behaving in such a manner, but I was the husband of Princess Freya, and I wasn't about to be intimidated or show any sort of weakness. I was a man on a mission, and I needed them to know I meant business.
"Vote for the northerner, vont with the chief of Hawkland,"
another enormous guard asked me in an intense voice.
"The wings on your back are not of the clans. So, you must either be a monster yourself, or an associate of the thing above us in the sky."
"I'm not aligned with the monsters on the moon," I insisted. "Please, I wish to speak with Chief Fenrir. It's an extremely urgent matter."
"Grief, is that you?"
I heard a gruff voice beyond me, and I carefully raised my chin to see Freya's father approaching with long, powerful strides. "Chief Fenrir," I greeted the fearsome leader of the Hawk Clan as he approached us. "I'm so sorry to have appeared so suddenly, it..."
"Lower your weapons,"
the chief instructed the shifter guards in an authoritative voice that sent a chill through me.
"Do you know who this is? This man is the warrior Grief, the husband of Princess Freya, and my beloved son-in-law. He is the one responsible for the defeat of Moose Clan, and the very reason we were able to move freely through the territories. You owe him your very freedom, so drop your spears at once and apologize."
We're so sorry, Chief Fenrir,"
the guard directly in front of me stammered, and he pulled his weapon back and bowed his head in respect.
I apologize to you, Grief of Njorten Falls. I have heard a great deal about you, but had not met you in person."
"It's okay," I assured the bear shifter, and then I turned to Freya's father. "Please, don't blame them for treating me like a threat. I was the one who took everyone by surprise."
"Still, they owe you more respect, especially since you're a relative of the royal family."
The Hawk Chief's nearly black eyes flashed, but once he noticed the scared expressions on the guards' faces, he calmed down and dismissed them in a softer volume.
"Please allow Griff and me a moment alone. You're dismissed."
The shapeshifters dutifully nodded, and then murmured further apologies to both the chief and me before they scurried off. "Thank you, Chief Fenrir," I said to the Hawk leader once we were alone. "I appreciate you stepping in."
"Of course,"
my father-in-law nodded.
"I apologize for the intensity of the guards. Hawk Clan has invited the other clans to stay with us on Eerie Island, and as such, we have unfamiliar faces amongst us."
"It's fine," I assured him, but the Hawk leader eyed me with a look of concern.
"Wait, where are my daughters?"
Fenrir asked me, and he craned his neck around.
"Did they not accompany you to Eerie?"
"They did not," I answered. "They're safe back in Mistral,
Then, might I ask why you are here?
The chief asked me.
Not that I am disappointed to see you. I am simply confused, especially with the absence of my children and grandchildren.
I'm here for a couple of reasons. But before I get into that, I wanted to check in and make sure everyone here is okay, I said as I peered around at Hawk Clan's mountain dwelling. Where's the rest of Hawk Clan?
They're all hidden deep within the mountain,
Fenrir revealed, and his shoulders slumped.
As I'm sure you've noticed, the world is in a twisted state, and we've had to take measures to accommodate. Now, come, let's find a more private place to speak with one another. I know you were the only one to enter our dwelling, but I'm still not convinced it's safe out here.
I followed the hawk leader as he swiftly moved down the hallway with long, determined strides, and I noted the lack of shapeshifters among the inner mountain dwellings. Normally, when I strode through Hawk Clan, I caught the eye of shapeshifters in both their human and hawk forms, and the chorus of raptors' calls was a constant. But as Chief Enrir led me to his private quarters, the only sound came from the heavy falls of his footsteps.
So, how have you fared since the moon turned? I asked the hawk leader in a hushed tone.
We suffered an attack yesterday, my father-in-law revealed. And as such, the other clan chiefs and I have requested that all of our kin remain in their chambers until we're certain the threat will not return.
An attack? I prompted him. What kind of... Fenrir turned to face me, and his nearly black eyes narrowed as they trailed over me.
Let us cross into the chamber first, the chief of Hawk Clan murmured in his gravelly voice. This matter is too private to discuss out in the open.
As we continued down the path, I took notice of the thick cloak that adorned Fenrir's shoulders, and the leather and feather cover war tunic Hawk Clan usually reserved for battle. Freya's father looked ready to attack at any moment, and I had no doubt it had to do with the secretive events of the prior day. Finally, we arrived outside a pair of large stone doors, and the chief wordlessly held them open for me. I crossed into the threshold and was greeted with a chamber outfitted like most of the others in Hawk Clan. Thick furs were spread out along the stone floor, and an impressively large fireplace blazed in the background and filled the room with a delightful amount of warmth.
I apologize, the Hawk Clan leader said as I sank down onto a plush cushion. I didn't mean to halt our conversation earlier. It's just... yesterday was quite traumatizing, and I did not wish to send anyone into further panic after overhearing our words.
I understand, I assured him. But now that we're alone, may I ask what's going on here?
Things have not been great in Eerie since the horrible shadow monster swallowed the moon.
Fenrir sighed, and the hawk shifter shook his head slowly.
The water has become so murky and dark, we cannot navigate it, and the air has become a poison. A few of our hawks have lost their ability to change because their burns are so deep within them.
Maker, I breathed. They can't change at all?
No,
my father-in-law said in a mournful voice.
Our great misfortune has only continued with the passing days. I know it must not be only the clans that suffer, but there is so much evil about the territories. It's easy to forget the rest of the world.
Trust me, I felt the same way back in Mistral, I agreed with the Hawk Clan leader. As a matter of fact, I still feel that way, and for good reason. You're right about one thing. We're in the midst of a great evil.
I may have lost sight of the rest of the world recently, but rest assured, my mind fell to you and my daughters the moment the moon began to bleed,
Fenrir remarked.
When the mountain was bathed in crimson light, I clung to my wife and sent a prayer in your direction. I was so worried I would lose everyone I held dear. But thankfully, your being here brings me hope all is not fallen.
What happened yesterday, if you don't mind my asking? I inquired.
Ever since the great beast loomed across the sky, the clan's guards have served in a rotation of sorts, keeping an eye out for anything amiss.
Fenrir went right into it.
I knew the likelihood of shadow beasts appearing from openings in the air was strong, so I figured it would be best to seal the uppermost entrance to Hawklen. Not only that, but the sealing of the entrance helped eliminate the infiltration of the poisons in the air. We've been able to stave away most of the effects of it with our war tunics and cloaks, but giving it less places to come in helped most of all.
Good, I sighed. Well, not good, of course. I trailed off, unsure of what to say next, and Fenrir began to pace around the room. With each heavy step the shapeshifter took, my anticipation swelled.
We came across them, a herd of shadow creatures,
the hawk leader finally continued, and the worry lines in his forehead almost seemed to intensify.
They had a strange appearance about them. Nearly my height, pitch black, with tusks similar to the walruses we see on our shore every so often. They were almost like boars of sorts.
We've faced similar monsters, as have Luritamba and Utun, I revealed. It seems like they've reached every last corner of the realm.
I should find comfort knowing others have spied them too, but I worry about the true state of the world if those beasts roam over every inch.
Fenrir sighed, and he pinched the bridge of his beakish nose in between his thumb and index finger. Unfortunately, it's as bad as you suspect, I said plainly. There's no dancing around the subject, but we can get into that momentarily. I want to hear about your experiences with the monsters.
Very well.
My father-in-law nodded, and the dark-haired man released another sigh before continuing on.
Yesterday it was Hawklen's turn in the guard rotation, and as such, I appointed a team of my greatest and most trusted guards to participate. Due to the poisons of the air, examinations of the island don't last long at all. But yesterday, my guards didn't return for a very good while, enough so that the other chiefs and I began to worry. I decided to fly out myself to find the missing guards, and when I landed, I was met with a gruesome sight. I'd sent a total of 7 Hawklen guards out onto Eerie Island, but only 3 remained. The others were slaughtered, torn apart by the teeth of the shadow beasts. Griff, it was terrible. I can't explain the sheer magnitude of their wounds, but what I can say is the shadow monsters flayed my soldiers alive as if they were cattle.
Oh, Maker, I breathed. Chief Fenrir, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's truly awful.
It was dreadful,
the hawk leader agreed. And it was then I noticed the deep purple circles that rested under his dark eyes like bruises. It seemed like restlessness and unease was plaguing everyone I held dear, and Freya's father was no exception. What happened to the survivors? I wondered. And what did you do when you found the shadow boars?
My remaining guard fought one of the beasts with spears, but the others got away before they could be handled,
Fenrir said.
Once the one boar was eliminated, I demanded we return immediately back inside of the mountain. I didn't want to put my guards in any more harm after all they'd suffered out there.
That was very wise of you, I complimented him, and then I sank down into my cushion as I processed his words. If they'd only fought one shadow boar, that meant others were still lingering around Eerie Island. Though I didn't know the amount of monsters, any of Azraneth's shadow beasts were more than enough to make me want to get rid of them.
It was what had to be done,
the hawk chief said, and then his lips turned downward into a frown.
I only wish I'd arrived there sooner. I regret not being able to save those we lost.
You didn't know, I reminded him as he wrung his large hands. And there was no way you could have known. The shadow monsters are unpredictable, and they're highly dangerous. This could have happened to any of the other shapeshifters. I can see you want to take the blame, but don't allow that kind of burden to settle upon you, Chief Fenrir.
It's not often I'm given this kind of talk.
My father-in-law actually laughed for once, and he ran his hand through his thick, dark hair.
I've given it many times, but it's never been imparted on me.
Sometimes you need a little reassurance, even when you're supposed to be the strong one, I assured him. You're a great leader, sir. Mourn those of HawkClan you've lost, but don't allow it to shut you down completely.
You're absolutely right,
Fenrir agreed, and then his black eyes flashed in amusement.
You've become quite a wise young man. My Freya is very lucky to have a mate who holds so much intelligence and understanding at such a young age.
It's both a blessing and a curse, I shrugged. And when the hawk leader looked at me in confusion, I chuckled to myself.
So, tell me, my dear son, what pulls you away from your homeland and brings you to HawkClan?
The chief finally asked me after we sat in silence for a few minutes.
If you've been experiencing similar attacks in Mistral, what has brought you all the way to Eerie Island?
I sat back up and rolled my shoulders back. I'd hoped for another minute alone with my father-in-law, but I had to remind myself I was on a mission for Mistral's behalf, and I needed Fenrir's assistance. Chief Fenrir, I wanted to request an audience with you and the other clan chiefs, I asked the hawk leader in an even voice. There's a matter I want to discuss, and since it involves all of you, I'd like to have everyone in attendance before I do so.
We can arrange that easily enough,
Fenrir agreed, though his head tilted to the side in confusion.
Saint Snow Leopard, Bear, and Wolf clans are being housed in HawkClan territory. I will bring the leaders together to speak with you.
I appreciate it, I said. The matter is urgent, and I need all the help I can get.
Of course, he said. I can see the seriousness behind your eyes, and I want to do anything I can to alleviate your problems. Now, how soon would you like to speak with the chiefs? Are you tired from your journey?
I'm actually doing pretty well, I insisted. I had one of my Arkans teleport me here. And then, since I flew over here, I exhausted a lot less energy and used very little time to travel.
Good,
Fenrir replied, and he stared off for a moment like he was in deep thought.
I'll locate the other chiefs as soon as possible. First, I need to speak with my remaining guards and compose a plan to go after the Shadow Beasts again. We haven't sent another team out today, and I'm worried the monsters will find a way to infiltrate our dwelling if they aren't stopped.
Sir, would you like assistance? I inquired. And when the hawk leader's bushy eyebrows drew together, I explained myself further. With the Shadow Beasts, I mean. I fought against them several times now, and I'd be more than willing to help you or the clan's guards.
Grief, I couldn't ask.
I'm offering, I pressed. Please, even if it's just a quick surveillance, I'd like to help. I might not be a shapeshifter by blood, but you and the rest of HawkClan are my family, and I want to assist and protect you in any way I can.
For now, I would like to request that we hold off on the surveillance, at least until this talk with the other chiefs,
Fenrir said in a cautious tone.
I appreciate your offer, but I can see the business on your mind is quite serious. Please, take a little while to unwind and center yourself. I will have food brought to you. And there's a lovely bed beyond us in the adjourning chamber if you need to rest.
Sir, please, I insisted. I don't mean to disrespect you by pressing, but I'd rather help than hang back. Fenrir's dark eyes narrowed at me, and for a moment, I was worried I'd offended the great leader of HawkClan. But then his weathered face softened and he nodded his head slowly.
You truly are my daughter's husband, he assessed. I admire your determination, Grief of Njorden Falls, and HawkClan. If you think you can locate the Shadow Beasts, which I'm more than certain you're capable of, I give you my permission to do so. Upon your return, I will grant you an audience with the remaining clan chiefs to discuss your business.
Thank you, sir. I bowed my head in respect. I'll do all I can to rid Eerie of the monsters.
Do you want assistance?
Fenrir asked with a solemn gaze.
I can assign some of my guards to accompany you on this mission.
I don't want to risk anyone else getting hurt, I insisted with a shake of my head. I appreciate the offer, but I think it would be best for me to go alone.
I trust your judgment.
The Hawk Chief nodded.
Please, Grief, be safe out there.
I will, I assured him. After a brief salute, Fenrir and I clasped forearms and nodded respectfully at one another before parting ways. I wove down the corridors with meaningful strides until I was back at the entrance of HawkClan's dwelling, and with every step, my focus intensified. I could do this. I knew I could, and so did Chief Fenrir. The shapeshifters deserved an island safe from Azraneth's minions, especially if they elected to stay in clan territories instead of joining me in Mistral. No matter their decision, I owed them a fighting chance. So with Chief Fenrir's blessing in mind, I summoned my Vinghun's wings and made my way back to the dock. Those Shadow Boars may have had a victory yesterday, but today was a different story. They were going to pay for what they'd done to my wife's people. I would make sure of it.